Remember this movie, Tim?
Oh, it was brilliant. Jamie Foxx did such an incredible job in this film. And he's actually a very talented piano player, so he did all the stunt work, so to speak. Like, him playing is him playing. It's pretty amazing.
Wasn't it Jamie Foxx that also did the voice at the beginning of Gold Digger?
Yeah, he did with Mr. Yeezus Kanye West.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that shouting out. Although, from what I understand, the vocals are Ray Charles, but otherwise, what you see him playing, it's him playing. So.
Right, okay. Well, we are coming into the final stretch of the Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We are streaming live at drewmarshall.ca and also on joyradio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250. Did you see my video of the week, by the way, Tim? Because we have a big...
I've got it. I've been meaning to mention it all day, but there was never an opportunity. I saw it earlier this week, and it is one of the funniest things, but saddest things you'll
ever see. It led me into a discussion about millennials, which we probably shouldn't have while Meg's
not
is in
Meg's
the studio.
Is here.
No, we'll talk about it next week when she's not here.
When Tori's here,
yeah. Because Tori's a millennial, but she's not quite as outspoken as Meg's.
No.
I'm worried about getting a right hook from this millennial. Anyway, this meathead is giving himself a flaming mo.
Yeah, whatever that was he was drinking.
And he spills it on his pants, and then he sets his pants on. He sets his crotch on fire. And then they start, I don't know what they did to try to, I think he poured the rest of the drink on his pants to put out the fire.
Probably, yeah.
Which just made the fire go bigger.
Because he was probably looking at his phone, Googling, how do I put out a fire?
And then his friend starts beating his his crotchal area, trying to put out the fire.
Oh, it was just, yeah.
Are we allowed to say crotchal area?
Well, we have.
Is that allowed?
Between the two of us, it's been said three times.
Anyway, all right, listen, it's time to move on to our very good friend, Dr. James A. Beverly, Associate Director of the Institute for the Study of American Religion, author of Nelson's Illustrated Guide to Religions. James Beverly is a professor of Christian thought, which sometimes seems like an oxymoron, and ethics. Also another oxymoron, at Tyndale Seminary in Toronto. He's a columnist for Faith Today magazine. He's written often for Christianity Today. He's taught all over North America and Europe, Central America, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, and Shelburne. Last year, where are you right now?
Just listening to you laugh. I'm just laughing. Like, Shelburne, I love that. That's the randomness that I just appreciate of your life.
Last year, Dr. Beverly assembled one of the largest gatherings of Scientology critics and ex-Scientologist for the Getting Clear Conference. Professor Beverly has been studying Scientology since 1978, has lectured on Scientology at various international conferences. His website, which needs a makeover, James Beverly, jamesbeverly.com. There's three E's in it. If you can figure out where they go, then you'll get to his website. Dr. Beverly, sir.
Hey, Drew, nice to be with you.
How are you today?
I'm very well. I just put money in the bank, so...
Woohoo!
It'll keep the income tax people away.
Nice. Well done. How close have you come to becoming a Scientologist?
It's probably the last thing I would become in the world of religion, except for I wouldn't become a member of the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Next to them, I regard Scientology as the saddest religion in the world. I know... There's almost nothing like it. People who are interested in studying Scientology, they should get my films at gettingclear.co, but they should also, every morning at 7 o'clock, look at the Underground Bunker. It's a news report every day with commentary on what's going on in Scientology.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big update. Okay, but they look so happy. Jim, they look so happy.
Okay, Scientologists are, generally speaking, wonderful people. They're incredibly dedicated. The ones you see in uniform are part of the Sea Org. They sign 1 billion-year contracts, which is a way of them showing how committed they are. They work for, it's a commune. They work very, very hard, up to 16, 18 hours a day. They have an incredibly demanding, ruthless schedule. Of course, they think it's all for advancing Scientology, which they believe is the only way to save planet Earth.
Okay. When I was involved in a Christian ministry, we worked very long hours, we worked very hard, and we got paid very little. Does that mean I was part of a cult?
Well, you'd have to tell me more about it, but even if you were in some sort of Christian cult, Drew, there's nothing like Scientology. If you work at the top of Scientology, leaders will beat you up, leaders will spit on you, there's incredible verbal abuse. One of my friends, Nora Crest, she tried to get out. They kept physically and emotionally pushing her to stay in. And in the end, she drank bleach and threatened suicide, so then she got out.
Well, maybe she just had some problems that were worse than others. That's a real word, by the way.
Well, if you listen to her life story, it's on the web, and she was at the conference I ran. Her big problem was what Scientology was doing to her. Another friend of mine, Jeff Hawkins, he got beat up by David Miscavige, the leader, 5 times. Left one day, and he told me he left because even though he thought leaving would lead him to hell, he couldn't take it anymore. So these stories abound. Of course, not everyone in Scientology gets punched or spit on, but it's such a incredibly bad religion, especially at the top.
Okay. Is this maybe one of the reasons why you're not getting your phone calls returned by the leader of Scientology Canada?
Well, once it was announced that I was doing a conference on Scientology, bringing in major critics, the leaders of the church in Canada took me to lunch, told me what a jerk I was, said I was a bigot, said I was anti-Canadian. They did an email campaign against me at Tyndale and a phone campaign, and they haven't talked to me since.
I thought I was just making inroads there. I didn't know I'd lose all my connections because I'm connected with you.
No. I think they'd be able to distinguish you from me. You're taller.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that. Okay. I get nervous pointing fingers at a tribe that believes something else when I know that the tribe that I've been part of for so long believes some pretty wacky things too.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, one of the big things to remember is a lot of people criticize Scientology, and they don't care at all what Scientologists believe. They just believe the practice is so disgusting. You know, Ron Hubbard, the founder, was a criminal. He should have gone to jail. He helped arrange the largest violation of government offices in American history. His wife and others took the fall for him. Mary Sue went to jail. Hubbard basically let her take the fall for him. So you don't get that in many religions, Drew, where the leader is a crook. The current leader of Scientology, I think he is breaking laws as well, but he's got very good lawyers and it's hard to catch him.
Did you happen to watch the 2020 interview with Ron Miscavige, who is our guest coming up next?
I did.
Your thoughts?
I think Ron is an incredible person. It takes courage to leave, especially when he's the son of he's the father of the current leader. If you were talking money and fame and power, he should have stayed in. But he and his wife couldn't take it anymore, and they bolted about 4 years ago. So I think he's a great person. I think he should be more critical of Scientology than he is. I don't think there's much there that's really helpful, though it's not totally bad. You know, Scientology, I don't know if you know it or not, but it's basically about all humans are messed up. We're messed up from previous lives and our current life, and if we join Scientology, we'll be trained to go from our current messed up state, which is called pre-clear, and then when we take the right programs, we'll go clear. And then after you're clear, you're under a lot of pressure to go up the different levels to the top. And those levels are divided now into 8 levels, and everybody hopes to get up to what's called operating Phaeton number 8. All the stories about Scientology and its mystery teachings revolve around OT3, because there you learn about space being. Now, for those listening, I should warn them, if you've never been in Scientology, Scientologists would say that if you hear the secrets of OT3 without being prepared, you could get pneumonia and die. So if you don't want to hear the secrets, tell people to turn their radio off.
So hold on. Here's the truth behind that, Jim Beverly.
Yeah.
The reason you get pneumonia and die is because anybody else that gets pneumonia would take medicine, but they're against taking medicine. Is that true?
No, I
come on, remember Tom Cruise chewing out Brooke Shields for taking antidepressant
stuff? Oh, that's different. He's mad at her for doing psychotropic medicine.
Oh, okay.
They don't care if you take aspirin for your pneumonia.
Oh, okay, all right.
So anyway, OT3, at OT3 you go to a specific Scientology location, you get a locked briefcase, you go in a locked room, you open the briefcase, you get a piece of paper written in Ron Hubbard's handwriting, and it tells you that a space being named Xenu captured people millions of years ago and brought them to Earth, and then he blew everybody up, and the spirits of all those dead people are in your body, Drew, and my body, and whoever else is in the show with you.
Wow.
Well, Meg sounds like he's got pneumonia.
Yeah, Meg's the intern's coughing in the corner over here.
She must have read those papers.
She did read the papers. Now she has pneumonia. Okay, so if I go down to the reading room in Toronto, right?
Kind of
a cool-looking place, and I walk in. It's a hot day. I want some air conditioning. I maybe
Yes, except, Drew, do you know that building on Yonge Street's getting torn down?
Oh, okay.
And the Toronto people... who aren't very many in number, they're supposed to raise enough money to create a new ideal building like the one in Cambridge.
Yeah, well, I know they bought the old hydro training center in near Hockley Valley, and that's apparently where the national headquarters is going to be built.
Right, that's going to be a super place, you know.
Yeah, super. Okay, so let's say I go into the Scientology place and I say, hey, what are you guys all about? By the way, do you have any water? It's really hot out, or a coffee or a cookie or something.
Yeah.
And do you know what my experience will be? I mean, it's got to be very positive. There's got to be positive stuff.
These will be nice people. I've done this myself. If you go in, you'll be given an IQ test.
Uh-oh.
Or a personality test is a better expression. And then they'll say... Now, Drew, your personality test shows that you have a trouble with authority, and since you're really tall, you tend to be a little powerful with others, and we want to make you into a nice, docile... That's all just a joke, Drew.
Yeah.
You would do the test. They would then say you need these things, and then they would say, take these courses, read these books... And once they get you in the loop, they would keep pressuring you, and then maybe you would realize you want to pay for the material. It costs $127,000 to get to OT3 to hear about Xenu, which I just told your audience for free. But you would take the courses, and then over time you might get to the top, and if you're really, really good at whatever you do, or David Miscavige likes you, you might end up at the headquarters in Hemet, east of L.A.
But can you be a Scientologist and just be normal?
Well, I would say when you meet Scientologists, in every respect, they're just like me and you. It's when they obey the Scientology rules and regulations, or when they get really tough on people, where it gets really sad, or when they, you know what's sad, Drew, you know more than most people about Scientology, and what's weird about that is that you even know more about many Scientologists, because most of them haven't got to OT3. Mm-hmm. They've heard about it. They hear mystery stories about it. They hear the supernatural powers you'll be able to have, and then lo and behold... if they get there, they've paid a lot of money, and I think if they get there, they realize, what? I'm not sure about Xenu and planets and people on other planets. And Hubbard claimed on national television one time that he had been out to the Van Allen Belt. I think he said it was cold.
Okay. All right.
But Hubbard, by the way, a judge in California in a major court case said he's a pathological liar. Hubbard was a dynamic, powerful person who just didn't realize if he just told his real life story, it was amazing. But he had to lie about his childhood. He had to lie about his war, his war experience. He was a bigamist. When he was getting into some of the learning on Scientology, he was married to two women at the same time.
While Jesus hung out with a prostitute.
Yeah, it was interesting hanging out with a prostitute and marrying two people at the same time.
Okay, all right.
It depends what Jesus did with the prostitute.
Well, there's no record of that, so we can't accurately know, eh? This is the stuff people push back. Because when we go to the founders of every religion, it seems like most founders have had had some tough things. You know, they've done some bad stuff somewhere along the line. But then they were good.
Well, okay. There's a lot of religious leaders. You'd have to pick which ones you're talking about, but I think overall Jesus has a pretty good reputation.
That's what I've heard.
Now, you know, some people, like our friend Don Weeb, who was with you on the show once, he thinks Jesus was mentally ill. My brother, who's a psychotherapist and knows Don, says there's not a chance Jesus was mentally ill. There's even a book by a French psychiatrist that he was remarkably mentally healthy. I will grant this, though. If Jesus isn't who he said he was, there is something wrong with him. He was deluded, I guess.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, listen, you are just a knowledgeable guy.
Okay.
Dr. James Beverly is the Associate Director of the Institute for the Study of American Religion and is the author of Nelson's Illustrated Guide to Religions. He is an incredible resource to understand world religions. Jim, what are some of the resources that you have available? Okay, go.
Oh, very good. Okay, first people can get my Mormon Crisis book, came out 2 years ago, and my Getting Jesus Right book, which I think is the best book ever written about Christianity and Islam. It's got incredible reviews, and if they go to the Castle Key website and put Jim, J-I-M, when they buy those books, they get a discount. I forget what it is, 15 or 20%.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And then the last thing.
Yeah.
I have the Scientology conference that I ran called Getting Clear. If people put Drew in for a password, they'll get a discount.
That's D-R-E-W.
Yes.
Cha-ching!
And they got to go to Vimeo.
Yeah.
Vimeo.com and put in Getting Clear.
Okay, you've just confused everybody. Just tell them one thing. Where should they go?
Go to Getting Clear on Vimeo.
Okay.
And put in Drew to get a discount.
Love it. Love it. I appreciate your time, Dr. Beverly. Thank you so, so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, and say hi to Ron for me. We've been emailing.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right.
Have a great time with him.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, there you go, folks. Up next on the show, Ron Miscavige, the father of the leader of Scientology. Tim, do we have enough time for Megs to do ODAP?
If she can do it in, like, a minute.
Okay, let's go. Meg's up to the microphone and you speed through this, baby. Okay, we won't even bug you. Here we go.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for the small business owner. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened-to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show and we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview. Oh, and one more thing, we'll also post your logo and website link on our website for a whole month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Yes! Yeah! Well done, Megs.
Flemless. Flawless. Flawless.
I got a text here from Lila Bialy saying that this is a quote from George Kohler, right?
All right.
Infamous Canadian bassist.
All right. All right.
If Howard Stern is a shock jock, then Drew Marshall is a flock shock.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.